And before that, we have the Observation Deck with Kevin Turner filling in today for the Vacation in Gordon Keith. It's brought to us by Man's Best Friend, A Number One Air, TexasLending.com, and Classic Chevrolet.
Oh, thank you very much, Miller Man. That seems uncomfortable for me to call you that.
Whatever you want. I'll answer to
Mr.
anything.
Miller. Thank you very
much, Mr. Miller.
There
you go. Now actually, I prefer Mr. Craig Miller.
Thank you very much, Mr. Craig Miller. Thank you. You know how Gordon always asks that question when he's out on wireless sometimes? Hey, what's your favorite disease? Mm-hmm. And isn't that, it seems like a real stupid question. It really does.
It is.
But I actually do have a favorite disease.
Okay.
The disease that I have.
Hmm.
And
bit of a downer?
You know what? It's actually kind of funny, the disease I have. This is...
Oh, a funny disease.
Yeah. Fun with diseases.
Okay.
have you guys heard of narcolepsy?
Yes.
And I don't mean this as a woe is me tell. You don't need to feel sorry for me. I'm healthy. I'm young.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've got everything. I'm filling in for Gordon, for God's sakes.
Got great hair.
Yeah. Got a lot of things going for me. Scoreboard. No. Narcolepsy, though, is the disease, for those that don't know, and Mike Soroy often confuses it with necrophilia, which is what he has, making love to corpses.
Oh, gosh.
What I have is narcolepsy.
Mm-hmm.
Now, narcolepsy, one in every 2,000 people get narcolepsy. A lot of people don't know it. They don't get it treated. They just fall asleep a lot in the middle of the day. This started for me in late high school. I noticed I would just fall asleep. Okay, well, class is boring, and we go to athletics. You're tired, you know, you stay up late.
Mm-hmm.
When I got into college, I realized I had a problem, though. This is a problem, a severe problem, where you're just, here we are, I'm doing a segment, and I'm gone.
So you could fall asleep during the show.
See, it doesn't happen anymore that often because I've gotten medication. I've gotten it taken care of after a auto accident.
I was going to say, how do you drive with narcolepsy?
Okay, well, this is a statistical figure here. You're 10 times more likely to have a wreck if you're untreated. You have narcolepsy and it's untreated.
Yeah.
One day, it's hard to call it that because it was after an overnight board op shift on a weekend when it happened, but it was still,
you could have just fallen asleep at the wheel like anybody else.
But I mean, I think if you're healthy, you don't. Like, this has happened where I had been needing to identify this for a long time, and I hit a car, and it was in Denton. I was going back to Denton. I lived there at the time, about 2 years ago, and it was a car of two black guys.
Okay. You can just say two guys.
It's two guys.
Well, they were angry.
Uh-oh.
They were
okay,
angry.
Okay, so wait a minute. How fast were you going?
You know, I don't recall. Probably 55, 60.
You're on the highway.
Yeah.
You rear-ended them?
I rear-ended them.
Two black guys.
Yes.
So they were also in motion. You came up on them too fast?
Yes.
And bumped them?
And this is about a swisher around that exit, so there's three lanes.
Corinth up there.
So
they thought it was on.
They thought you had bumped them, and you're
ready just to throw down right there on 35.
One of them thought it was on. The other one was in, he was kind of trying to get some claims. He's just screaming, I'm hurt.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't bad. It was not a bad, it was a tap. But it was a wake-up for me,
yeah.
And it was, for them, I'm thinking, oh, God, I just killed a baby. Like, that's all I'm thinking is there's a kid in that car, and I just killed him. And it wasn't that bad. They went off to the side of the road. So I get out of the car, and I run, guys, you okay? You okay? The driver.
Knife?
No, not knife.
Why are you assuming that the black guy is carrying a knife?
I don't know.
Well,
I carry one.
Here's the thing. He gets out of the car, and he comes at me. So I start going back, and real quickly, 911. And I just call it, hey, I'm in a wreck. I saw the exit. I gave him the exit.
Charged
get
right
here,
now.
Please. They're mad.
Mm-hmm.
Get here.
There's no way I can stand my ground here.
So I spend the next...
I'm very white.
I'm incredibly, excessively white here. But I spend the next 5-10 minutes just negotiating with this guy. As he's come up to me, he's wearing sweatpants. Not that this matters, but he's got his hand inside his waistband the whole time.
See? Like he's got a piece.
Like he's got a piece. A Glock.
Mm-hmm.
A
heater.
Did he show it to you?
Oh, he didn't show me his piece, George. But so I'm kind of, I'm about to lock myself in my truck. Do I take off? I mean,
no,
very...
you got to reach down in your pants.
Yeah.
I'm like, okay.
It's on.
It's on.
Well, he's giving me all this. I'm from Detroit, yo. Give me 10 G's.
Interesting
he's asking
voice
for money.
Assignment here.
He's asking for $10,000.
Wow.
And I'm going, that's a quick claim adjuster there. Very quickly, look, it was my fault. I've got the insurance thing. Here, we'll switch it. It's not a big deal. I'll take care of it. It's my fault. I'm trying not to get shot here.
Mm-hmm.
I see the cop in my rearview mirror. Door open, sign. And I'm standing by my truck, and the door is open, and he's kind of, I can tell what's going on, though. The other guy's still screaming, and I'm like, okay, he doesn't have a gun. I figured it out by now. But I was still
10 G's, yo.
What if he punches me out? You know, I mean, look, I'm not going to hit anybody. I mean,
yeah.
The cop comes, gets out of the car, and the cop's behind.
Don't get hung up on that word.
Strange,
just keep going.
Strange reaction.
Don't let him get hung up on that word. Just keep going.
And I've got the insurance thing, and I've got it in my pocket. And spur of the moment, I said, you know what? I'm not taking any chances with this guy. I take up running towards the cop, and I scream, he's got a gun! He's got a gun!
Did you really?
Yes, I swear.
So that probably caused the cop to immediately draw down?
Not really.
Oh.
It was the most lackadaisical, and I get it. It was early Sunday morning at 6 a.m., but it was the most lackadaisical. And I'm like, he's got it going, like, again. And the officer's like, no, he doesn't.
He's thinking,
like,
silly white guy.
So we go, they get a whole ambulance comes to take them. They end up getting a ticket because they didn't have registration or a driver's license on them. The police report thing is filed, and I'm like, okay, I don't really want my information on this police report. I know that sounds weird, but what if they come to my apartment? Like,
they're not going to find you.
Never heard from them again.
They're from Detroit.
Never heard from them ever again. But there's the tell.
But then you knew that you had a problem with your...
That's when I got medication, did the whole sleep study thing. What I recognized is I have another disease, which is a side effects of narcolepsy, and this is the one that I can't control. It's called cataplexy.
What's that?
Affects 70% of people that have narcolepsy. Cataplexy is, I almost think it was almost what happened to, it's not what happened to Dave Barnett, but something similar to where you lose muscles in your face.
Really?
Your speech can slur, weak knees, knee buckling. And what triggers that? Exhilaration, anger, fear, laughter, surprise.
You're going to have all of that during the morning show. Are you going to have cataplexy during the show?
I think it's very possible. Uh-oh. And this happened to me once when the first week I ever filled in for a Jer, and I was board hopping for you guys. This was at the old place. And I think the one time I placed a drop well, Craig looked at me and kind of nodded in approval. I was excited about it, and I blacked out for like 3 seconds.
Oh, no. You're a major health risk.
That is wild.
But then I was back. You know, I'm back. So,
all right, so how do you treat that? You just ride it out, or is there something you can take for that?
No treatment for it.
Really?
And depression has been, like, seen a lot of people that have that have depression because basically it causes you to dumb down your lifestyle because going out and all this excitement or... I mean, and look, it doesn't happen every time. It's happened to me, I swear. Another thing is the inability to catch something when something's thrown at you, if it catches you by surprise. Like, we play a ticket Sunday night basketball game. I have no problems there because I'm prepared for it. But
Eric Dampier had that.
Yeah.
Did he really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, he did.
The ball would always catch him by surprise.
But
couldn't catch it.
Like, I remember before I identified cataplexy as well. My brother, one time I was at home, and my brother just throws a football at me not expecting it, and it just hits me right in the... And he's like, dude, why didn't you catch it? And I'm like, I'm really dizzy.
I have cataplexy.
I didn't know at the time.
Yeah.
And after I started Googling all these symptoms, and I figured out what it was, and I identified it, and you find out there's no treatment for it. And that's the weird thing. Some of the other things, though, embarrassment.
That triggers it?
Or being just surprised, and orgasm.
Organism?
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to think about you
know
in
about
that state.
Man.
No one does.
At all. But
you really have to worry about that one?
So you're all walking, down the hall. Hey, you don't know what I'm up to, Jer.
You should have seen him putting the moves on Alexis earlier.
Yeah, hi, Alexis. Gross.
I'll tell you a story in the corner of another time I was macking on a former Survivor winner, a winner of Survivor.
Oh, really?
A female.
Okay, I was going to say, it wasn't the very first winner.
Possibly the worst pickup line of all time.
Okay,
a
good.
A tease in the corner.
But, I have narcolepsy.
Say you're walking down the hall, and maybe you walk around the corner, and perhaps there's a hot girl.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe startles you. Well, for me, What that amounts to is me stomping down in almost a seizure-like fashion, head down. It's the weirdest thing.
Like Napoleon Dynamite, kind of a Napoleon kind of thing.
It is.
What does the girl think?
The girl's going, look at this guy's freaking out. Call 911. No. How about this, though? Famous people who have narcolepsy and oftentimes cataplexy. Jimmy Kimmel.
Really?
Well, for himself, right?
Yeah.
So, here's one, Junior, you may know. He's a French road racing cyclist.
Mm-hmm.
Frank Boyer.
Yeah, sure.
Okay. He apparently has that. He had
so it's
some...
Jimmy Kimmel and Frank Boyer.
That's all you can find?
Are the two most famous people with
No, there's more.
Okay.
More info.
He just did that one for you.
The thing that's interesting with Boyer, though, is he was taking different type of doping substances to help with that, and I think he was allowed to...
Oh, okay. He had the doctor's,
to take some that others couldn't just
the doctor's
because,
note.
Yes.
Yeah, that could be dangerous on a bike if you're going downhill at 60 miles an hour and all of a sudden you have the Kevin Turner moment.
You start freaking out for 3 seconds? It's never been longer than that. And I've only collapsed once. A lot of people collapse with it.
Wow.
One time I just fell out of my chair. I was watching a YouTube video and I was laughing. And I just... There's been times of like
man, I want to see this happen. We need to startle you because I want to see
throw
it happen.
Ball at him real
it's
quick.
Weird because you have to warn people that you're close to because if they're around you a lot,
they're going to see weird stuff.
Yeah, like look, this, I may just kind of freak out for like, you know, 3 second, just twitch.
And you have insomnia too. You have a hard time sleeping at night.
I wake up every 2 hours.
Really, you
no
can't
matter
just sleep
what.
Right through.
No, and I've got a sleep machine, and I...
Wait, whoa, what is that?
The CPAP that? Machine.
The, oh, okay.
The big
the apparatus.
Yeah, and I can't use it because it comes off. Like, I sleep on my stomach usually, and, you know, if it's supposed to work where you sleep on your back, well, you roll over, and it always comes off. So I quit using it. And I've just... Basically, you have to... look, if I'm gonna take a five hour drive somewhere, then I've got to make sure I get sleep the night before the best I can.
Man, you got a lot of weird crap going on.
It's weird, but again, it's not meant as a woe is me because I'll kick myself in the balls about it more than anybody because it is kind of funny. If you're gonna have a disease, then you might
make
as well
it
have
bit worthy. Yeah,
yeah. I mean, so and I try not to let it affect my lifestyle. I still like to, you know,
party.
Try not to
hang out with the ladies. Sure.
Yeah, I go out to Jub Jam. You know,
yeah, he was there the other night. Right? I didn't notice anything weird the other night.
I think here's some other ones there real quick. Some influential people who have had it. Thomas Edison had that.
Indeed,
so,
interesting.
Indeed,
and Harriet Tubman. And Ron Jeremy.
Oh, really?
Okay.
Interesting.
And to the athlete side of things, Sergio Kindle, former Longhorns great.
Yeah.
I think he's a Ravens linebacker.
Woodrow Wilson,
still trying to battle back from injury.
And Eric Snow, former point guard of the Philadelphia 76ers. He actually fell asleep during a broadcast once. And there's audio of that, but it's not that great.
Oh.
But he just falls asleep, and the guy's like, "Are you meditating?" And he just starts mumbling because he didn't know what he was doing.
Wow.
So,
wow.
It's a serious thing, but it's also not a serious thing in a way. I mean,
interesting way to put it.
Yeah.
I mean, look, it's not cancer, you know?
No.
Yeah,
it's not.
Weren't you up here last night, Kevin, like doing Mavs audio to like 1 or 2 a.m. to where he...
Oh, no, he hadn't had sleep.
He debated staying here.
Oh, no.
Did you sleep last night?
I got to sleep at 2 a.m.
So you got a couple hours.
I got two.
Okay.
So we got a chance.
All right.
There's a chance.
Yeah. 8 o'clock hour.
Well, hang in there, KT. You got Muse of the News coming up here at 7:15. You ready to go there?
I'm excited.
Okay.
Oh, he almost did
he just went into his thing.
Repair and filling in for the vacation in Gordon Keith is the Ticket's own Kevin Turner.
Thank you very much, Mr. Craig Miller.
Very nicely done.
Are we having fun yet?
I don't know about that.
I don't know about that, Kevin. Okay. Let's not get that excited.
Okay, slow down. I think one underrated aspect of this segment is Gordon can be telling a story about some guy that got his head chopped off or something usually regarding blood with him. Mm-hmm. But if you kind of, Jerk, could you prank that production music up just a minute? It's kind of...
I like the music.
Yeah. It's underrated. I don't think...
Really? You don't get tired of it?
I don't. Isn't it?
It is kind of amazing. We haven't tired of this music since we've been doing the morning show since '95.
17 years or so. Same music bed for this segment.
Yeah.
I remember one time I was on Cirque du Soleil. I brought a game show segment and it was based around all the music beds at the ticket. And you got the Jub theme.
Yeah.
One of my favorite. Don't. And the scatter shooting theme and all the themes. And Mike and Cash were like, wow, it's kind of like they knew some of them, but it's like, wow, you don't really think about it a whole lot. It's just there. But yeah, so there's that.
Okay.
Okay, let's talk about, the big story yesterday was the Obamacare healthcare. Man, I'm 24, yeah. I just don't really want to get into that. Is that...
That's fine.
Okay, and that was the big story, but man, that seems like a beat down on a Friday, so...
Yeah, so it was a surprising Supreme Court vote, 5-4, and Obamacare was basically declared a tax?
Yeah.
Is that...
It was upheld, and that is... That's all I can say.
Okay.
How about should a whiff I? By all the networks? CNN whiffed the results. Fox whiffed it, and they all because they were trying to rush to, you know, they said the mandate got overturned.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they all rushed to it. Twitter blew up, and then 3 minutes later, it was just this massive retraction.
Oh, wow! I didn't know about that.
Trying to be first place, trying to get there quicker. But let's—I just can't do that. I don't think I'm 24. I don't feel like I should have to worry about the healthcare yet. It's coming soon. I know.
If you've got narcolepsy, though, you should worry about things like that.
Or we should worry about Terrell Owens, as Ty Walker said earlier this week. Pringle can.
Yeah, let's not say that.
That was drop.
Okay. Well, that picture will not be shown. The lady who had the screenshot that was taken over Skype admits she was not the person on the other side of the Skyping. It wasn't even her, that she found it on her friend's computer.
Oh.
And that she's not going to sell it, that it's wrong. She did not want this to continue, and it should have never happened. I'm thinking there was probably
That's good. Leave Teal. He's got enough problems right now.
Yeah, he really does. He really does.
Trying to make it back to the NFL. He's got a lot of baby mamas out there.
Gross. Okay. There's a new park opening up in October here in Dallas. Clyde Warren Park. Ever heard of it?
Who's Clyde Warren?
Never heard of him. I don't know. Hey, Clyde. It's going to be opening up on October 27th and 28th. Similar to the Margaret Hunt Hill Bridge, they're having a big opening.
Is this the park that's going to be over R.L. Thornton?
Yes.
Is that
yes.
thing? Okay.
And they're going to have a big weekend on the 27th and 28th. Activities will be free to the public. Will include music. Now,
really?
They don't have a band to play the opening opening day.
Oh, really?
Bird Dogs?
Yeah.
Bird Dogs?
Jub Jam Part 2.
What day is it?
October 27th and 28th. That's probably...
Weekend? That's probably a game or something.
Yeah.
That's going to be cool, though. I think that's a good thing for Dallas. I think that's going to... We need more... Like that park where they had Homegrown Festival.
Mm-hmm.
I'd never seen that before. Mm-hmm. That was really cool. That's a cool area. This area is going to be even bigger than that.
This is the Woodall Rogers? The over Woodall Rogers?
Yes.
That's what KT said.
It's a 5.2-acre park. Will include a performance stage, fountains, a botanical garden, and a dog park.
It's going to be great.
Yeah.
Dallas definitely needs more outdoor spaces.
They're going to get a restaurant there in the spring.
It may not be awesome in July and August, but in the spring and fall and the occasional warm winter day, be pretty cool. And right there in the arts district and the entertainment district in Uptown. Yeah, I think it's great. The tunnel's a bit bizarre. Do you ever drive through that tunnel, Woodall Rogers?
Yeah.
With the jet engines?
Yeah, it's pretty long, and it's too well lit, in my opinion.
It's not dark enough?
No, it's not dark enough. Like, if you drive through there at night, it's so bright that when you come out the other end, you can't see.
Interesting. I've only been through it during the day. And those fans are to get the exhaust out of there so you don't have carbon.
But there's like 50 of them lined up.
Yeah, maybe over fanned, too.
Clyde Warren is the 9-year-old son of billionaire Kelsey Warren.
So did he donate a lot of money?
Apparently so.
Help build the park?
Named it after his kid.
Okay, that's cool.
It won't be long till the opening of Michael Gruber Park. Or Groups Park.
Groups Park.
His dad's going to just throws the money in, and there you go. Groups
Everything
has a park.
Miniature. Mini benches. And
this stereo system of just those laughs all through the park.
Top of each hour, you'll hear that ring throughout the park.
Do you guys like fast food?
Not as much as I used to.
I gotta admit, extreme lifestyle.
I like Raising Cane's chicken fingers. That's fast food.
No doubt.
You like them crinkle fries, George?
I like them crinkle fries. Quit getting hung up on that.
One love.
One chicken.
I love it. I really don't either. I had a lifestyle change. I didn't do like Metafast or anything, but around about November, I went on a not a hardcore diet. I tried to do a 3-4 pound a month type thing, and I've lost like 30 pounds since November.
Good for you.
It's
awesome.
It's all lifestyle change. You can't eat fast food a lot. Well, Dallas has more fast food junkies than any other city in the U.S., says a study by this very vague group, the Sandelman and Associates, a market research firm based in San Clemente, California.
Okay.
But it did find that 34% of the population in Dallas likes them some fast food. So,
I believe that.
Is that surprising to you guys at all, though?
No. It's not surprising that a third of the population eats fast food. It is a bit surprising that we are number one in the country.
We're number one, and number two is McAllen.
Really?
It's considered, an area, a region of this. The reason being, they say, is because during the recession, Dallas relatively stayed pretty strong. So distribution was good.
Oh, so it was
more
a matter
chains.
Of people eating out.
We're doing
out
well down here.
Looks like it, yeah. Houston was number eight. But Dallas, 34%, though, of our population go to fast food places at least 20 times a month.
Damn.
20 wow. times.
I don't know if I ever got that high.
I mean, in college, that was a normal thing.
Yeah, sure.
But I don't know.
You know how I survived in college? Every day for lunch, I would go to Taco Bueno, and I would get two bean burritos, and they called it the apple chilada or something. It was like a 40-cent dessert. And I remember every day my bill was $2.50, basically.
Yeah.
Can't beat that.
Couldn't beat that.
That works. That works all the time. I mean, they call them party tacos is the new thing at Taco Bueno. When I was in college, at least. I don't know if it's still there. Party tacos. So cheap. Little. You get like four of them. You spend $3 and you're good. And you move on with the rest of your afternoon. So, man, I tell you what.
$5 pizza buffet, too. That was a big one.
Yep.
That lasts for 2 days.
Couldn't make it through college without fast food.
Those
no way.
College eating habits are very unstable.
Atrocious.
But well, what are you going to do, you know?
Eat.
Is that a question? What am I going to do? Or,
oh.
Or is that just rhetorical?
It's more rhetorical than anything. So, you guys, do you like watching TV when you go on, like,
is
airplanes?
That a question, or is that rhetorical, or?
Well, there was
yes, I like watching TV sometimes.
There was a comment there with the second part of that.
When we go on an airplane, do we like watching TV?
Yeah.
Like what they provide?
Yeah. Like reruns of 2.5
minutes. No, because I never feel like I have a good angle at the screen. I don't. I'd rather watch my own screen than what they're showing.
It's either right above you or like the one far
too
away.
Too far, yeah.
Well, Southwest Airlines has got a cool little thing going. They're testing this. They're testing live TV on flights. Basically, what they're going to do is charge you a fee of $3 to $8. They haven't decided yet. They will provide the Wi-Fi, and you will watch TV on your own device.
On your own screen.
On your laptop or your tablet.
Live. Just whatever's on the networks at that moment.
Here's the channels they will be offering. Southwest plans to offer NBC Sports, which no one watches, apparently.
They're starting out. Yeah,
they're
turning NBC Sports.
Major League Baseball games from MLB.com, which is extremely vague because you have to buy the MLB TV package. I don't know. But NFL Network, CNBC, MSNBC, Fox News, and Fox Business News. So you're not getting the main basic networks.
Yeah, but for the traveling businessman, though, he wants to stay up on what's going on with the markets.
Yeah.
And, I think that's a great idea.
Watch a little MLB Network.
Watch a game.
Absolutely. I'd pay $3 for that an hour and a half, two-hour flight. That you're going to go to the newsstand and buy a $6 magazine to take with you.
Southwest Airlines winning again.
And who wants to read when you can watch TV?
Exactly.
And your bags still fly free. Despite that.
That's still happening?
I think so. With Southwest Airlines,
awesome. That's good to know. It says they're evaluating different price points, $3 up to $8. And what comes with that will be a link to give you instructions on how to get that on your tablet or on your laptop or whatever. So this is supposed to be, I think, by the end of they're going to try to begin this beginning of 2013. Hoping to have this completed by the end of 2015, where it's everywhere. So this is going to be a new thing. American Airlines will pick it up. Everybody will pick it up. So.
I give that idea 3 thumbs up.
You have 3 thumbs?
I give it 3 thumbs up.
You're not supposed to ask. Just say, oh, wow, thanks, Craig. Yeah.
Then I had a nubbin.
No.
Third thumb. Do you guys like the comic Louis C.K.?
Yes.
Yes.
Love him.
Yes. Funny.
Season 3 premiere was last night. I didn't watch it.
Oh, was it?
But You guys know he's coming to Dallas?
Yep. Two shows, right?
Yes. And did you guys happen to get tickets? Did you guys?
What is it?
He October 20th, he's coming to the Majestic. Now, he put these on sale early in the week, and he announced a later show on Tuesday. Tuesday, he announced that he's going to do another show, a late show at the Majestic for $10.
Oh, the same night?
The same night.
Oh, wow.
He's got one at 7 p.m., and then his whole tour sold out. So in certain venues, he added a late show.
Wow.
The Dallas one sold out. Tuesday afternoon, about 3 o'clock, I got on and got two tickets real quick for the late show.
You and me.
One
Junior.
I got another, yeah.
Awesome.
Okay, $45. I like what he's doing. He's weeding out Ticketmaster and everyone else because he doesn't like that. He said that he's made enough money now that he doesn't want to screw his audience.
Mm-hmm.
It's $45 even, and he makes money off the taxes. He said it includes the $45 includes the sales tax. So
okay.
He's basically, depending on which state he's in, he makes more or less money. But he's and basically,
so no service fees or anything like that when you order your tickets.
So. And he made a statement here. It's, it said making the shows affordable has always been his goal, but two things have worked against that: high ticket charges and ticket resellers.
Right.
So he's like, if I've got a good audience, but I've got a guy 2,000 miles away, and he's flipping this thing for $200-$300, he's not happy about that. He doesn't like that. So
I still understand how that business has just been created here in the last 15 years.
Man, I'm telling you.
I mean, it's convenient I got to get a ticket, but it's still just wild to me.
It really is. And I think I like the stick it to the man aspect, Louis C.K. Mm-hmm. Everything he does, even with this TV show, he films it and edits it himself. It's
That's pretty cool.
I think I like what he's doing there. And he's the most respected comedian by far. And
is he?
Right now, I would say the top comedian right now out there.
Yes.
From a popularity standpoint.
I think so.
What's going on right now,
he'll
guys?
Go down in history with the likes of...
That's enough on that.
George Carlin.
Back to what George said. It is weird how ticket brokers are allowed, because scalpers are not.
Right.
But if you do it in a more formal way, are ticket brokers supposed to help eliminate the scalpers? Is it just a...
Supposed to, and yet I used to get better deals from scalpers.
Yeah.
You know, it's a way to, you know, tax it and make it a part of the whole economy, but at the same time...
You're still paying 10 times face value or whatever it might be.
Well, it's extremely unstable, but I use the Craigslist method quite a bit.
Mm-hmm.
And if you wait until a day before or the day of the show...
You get deals?
Yes. And they'll... I mean, you meet up and you might have to make out. Yeah, you might have to make out with a guy.
But you get a great deal.
Or if you trade with a woman, that's fine. But look, you gotta look at the ticket hard and you kinda hold it up to the sun and make sure it's not a weird
counterfeit thing.
I would worry.
But it's never failed me yet, and I've saved a lot of money by doing that.
How Louis C.K. is trying to combat that. He says he posts tickets may not be resold for any amount over their face value, and they have hawks looking at eBay for any ticket that is a dollar over face value, and they'll invalidate the barcode.
Wow.
Yeah. So he's going hardcore on trying to combat that. Yeah.
We have a world record that was set by a somewhat local rock band, the Flaming Lips.
Yeah.
Hosted the Super Bowl party.
No, wait.
They're Oklahoma, actually.
Oklahoma, okay.
But they're always hanging around Dallas.
Get them and that other band confused.
Polyphonic Spree?
No. Neon Indian?
Neon Trees.
Neon Trees. Are they?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay. Well, the Flaming Lips played 8 shows in a 24-hour span dating back to late Wednesday night and yesterday. 8 shows in 24 hours to set the world record that was previously held by Jay-Z.
What a beating.
The journey started in Memphis, and they went through the Mississippi Delta, had a bunch of their artist friends, other artists came in to join them. And I guess someone on the Granada Theater Twitter account, they gave a guy who was kind of on that tour their password. So he's kind of tweeting pictures from the bus and all these shows they're going. It's pretty cool.
Yeah.
And I'm not even a huge Flaming Lips fan. I think
they
put on a spectacle.
Yeah.
But
that's the one with the bear with someone on his shoulders, right? I mean, they get all sorts of bits
up
on stage.
Yeah, they get the crowd up on the stage. A guy wearing a bear suit, like Junior said he would do once.
I think this is an easy record to break. Unless is there a minimum for how long the show has to be? Like, can you do a 5-minute show and then do 20 of them and say you've got the record?
8 shows in 24.
You know,
multiple cities is a factor.
It says a new Guinness World Record for most live shows in a 24-hour period.
Because I believe I could break that today.
Sure,
I can do. It won't be very good music. Yeah, I don't know if this counts, but if you're talking about a musical concert, I think I could do 10.
10:30 stand-up in the conference room.
They'll be short.
It'll be
terrible because I can't play or sing, but I can break that record.
You can play the Cumulus Cafe.
Yeah.
What a great room.
We'll get
that
you
is.
Over to Addison real quick. We'll do a quick one at the Galleria.
There you go.
And then we'll move it. Yeah, I think that's breakable. Maybe that's an overrated record they broke.
Maybe so.
All right, Kevin, let's do birthdays.
Yes, I have those. Real quick, today's show, they have a new host. Ann Curry was shown. She was shown to the door.
Mm-hmm.
And they got this new chick named Savannah Guthrie. They're bringing her on today already. Because Matt's going on vacation next week. Birthdays, Dan Dierdorf, 63.
Who?
Dan Dierdorf.
Okay.
Pedro Guerrero, former Dodgers, 56.
Pedro Guerrero. Mm-hmm.
Atlanta Hawk Joe Johnson, 31. That'll do it for sports birthdays. Gary Busey is 68.
Wheels off. Yeah, he's a wheels off dude.
Made the great Chet Stedman in Rookie of the Year.
Underrated movie.
It really
is. One of
my
family's favorite movies.
It's a wonderful one.
Yeah. Roland Gardner. Henry Roland Gardner.
Comedian Richard Lewis, 65.
He's greatness and the Ticket Zone.
Tight.
Actress Melora Hardin, who plays Jan on The Office.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
She's 45. Don Dawkin, Dave Wayne's current obsession.
Yeah.
He's 59.
Mm-hmm.
Colin Hay. Men at Work.
Mm-hmm. Greatness.
He's also 59.
Great voice.
And the creator of one of the most phenomenal TV shows going right now, Mad Men, Matthew Weiner, is 47.
Weiner.
And you're up to date.
All right, Kevin, nice job with Muse in the News. Filling in Heath is Kevin Turner. He's back with us now. Well, hello, Kevin.
Are we having fun yet?
Oh, yeah.
Still? No?
Yeah.
Okay. Well,
welcome. No, we're doing fine.
Welcome to the first edition of this game show that I've entitled, Who Tweeted That Tweet on Twitter? Now, This is not a stereotypical radio game show where you're not really playing for anything. We're just doing a bit on radio. No, there's a prize here, my friends.
Okay.
A prize. You really want to win this. I'll tell you later what it is, though.
All right.
But you want to win the prize. Trust me. Okay. First, we're going to introduce our contestants. Our first contestant is, he's beaten many Kenyans in various marathons around the world.
Don't think that's true.
Oh, it's not? Okay. He once claimed that he would wear a bear suit.
I will wear a bear suit.
He said he would. And he nearly died a week ago.
Yes.
Out on the trails. Ladies and gentlemen, the Junes, Craig Jr. Miller.
Hello, Kevin. Hello, P1s.
And Dramatic. Our other contestant, the broadcasting partner of Hank Dickinson, former teacher of mine, the founder of Jub Jam. The ladies love you madly, Giorgio. Yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, George Dunham.
Yay.
Here are the rules. I will ask each of you a question separately. If you get the question correct, you get +1. If you miss it, it is -1.
Hmm.
The other guy can steal it after your question. Now, these are past tweets. It could be ticket guys, local celebrities, even national celebrities. It's a multiple choice question. Craig, you will go first. Here's your first question.
Yes, Kevin, I am ready.
April 14th, 2011, this tweet was sent out by who? Just spotted Craig Miller on Luther Lane in Dallas. He seems so down to earth, just like a regular guy. Was it A, Ty Walker? B, Dan McDowell? C, Corby Davidson? Or D, Michael Krennic?
That's a good one. I think I kind of remember this, and I'm going to say B, Dan McDowell.
Correct.
Gosh.
Nailed it.
Nice. I'm pretty good at who tweeted that Twitter on Twitter or whatever.
So far, the Junes batting 1,000. Giorgio, May 15th, 2012.
As though Dan had never met me.
Who tweeted this? Bon, 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 yo quiero estar contigo. Bon, 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 tu quiere estar conmigo. Was it Elvis Andrews? John Blake? Bob Sturm? Or any one of Norm's former producers?
What was A?
Elvis Andrews.
I'll say it's Elvis.
Bob Sturm.
Oh, okay.
I'd like to steal.
Oh, I'm sorry. I forgot the stealing thing.
Bob Sturm.
No, you can't do that. That's illegal.
Yeah, it's the hostess' fault. I'll give you half. Will you bargain with me?
No.
No, that's okay. But
we blew that.
I could have stolen, right?
What an awful game show host.
Yeah, that's all right.
I'm like the Drew Carey here. January 12th, 2012, this one is for you, Junior. I will be on Channel 8 in 15 minutes talking about my love of the Ding Dong. Is it A, Ron Corning, B, Gordon Keith, C, Pete Delkus, or D, Alexis Smith?
It certainly sounds like something Alexis would say, but I'm going to say Gordon Keith.
Correct.
And he's on fire.
The sound effects are really quick.
You know, wait on the turnover, like on the
family. It's turning into a rout.
It's all good. Junior leads by a score of 2-1, right, Mike?
Correct.
We get that 5-point bonus in the end, no worries.
So Mike is your, he's your Vanna White, he's your sidekick, he's keeping score.
He's a great team.
I look great.
He's somewhat of a Vanna White if you kind of look at him.
2-1.
June 5th, 2012, George. So Shannon Doherty is going to be sitting across from some poor complexion, wispy mustached, unsuspecting frosh in Biology 101, huh? Was that A, Mike Reiner, B, Groobs, C, Big Strong Jer, or D, Bill Geiger?
I don't know.
Hey, guys.
I'll say Mike Reiner.
Boom.
Hey. That sounded like
Reiner. That did sound like Reiner. That's the only reason I guessed him.
Back to even par.
Did not sound like one of our engineers, Bill Geiger.
Craig, October 3rd.
Yes, Kevin.
2011. About to make it happen on News 8 Daybreak with Cynthia Izaguirre and Ron Corning. Me plus Cynthia equals Goo Goo Eyes. A, Gordon Keith. B, Alexa Konomos. C, Donovan Lewis. Or D, Alexis Smith.
I know Alexis has a thing for Cynthia.
That's breaking news.
But I'm going to guess, although I don't remember him appearing on this show, that kind of sounds like something Donovan would say.
Talk about a guy who knows his coworkers.
Man,
right there.
I ever. Yeah.
Okay, this question for George.
By the way, why was he on Good Morning Texas?
I have no idea. This was October 3rd, 2011. So
maybe Black History
World
Month?
World Series talk or something? I don't know.
In October's. I mean, it's about 5 months before. But okay, George, June 5th, 2011. Doris is wearing green tonight. Green equals horny. George has noticed. Was that A, Craig Miller, B, Gordon Keith, C, Stacy Keebler, or D, Laura Bush?
It's one of the knuckleheads that I work with.
You don't think Laura Bush would have tweeted
that? No, I don't think so.
George noticed.
I'm going to say it'd be either one of them. I'll say Gordon.
Junior, dang it.
That's Craig.
I don't even remember tweeting that, so.
Green equals horny, is that
Yeah,
true?
Don't they say that about green M&Ms?
I think they make you
about
horny.
M&Ms.
Okay,
so I'll steal. So I'm going to say me.
Yeah.
No, you don't have to give me a point for that.
Getting
it's
that
a landslide.
You can steal.
James okay. has three. Jubb is minus one. He's going to need all five of the bonus points.
Junior, March 3rd,
yes, Kevin.
2009. I prefer a male. It was tweeted by someone. Was it Norm's Clubhouse, George Dunham, C. Elton John, or D. Rich Phillips?
Oddly, I think I remember this, and I think it was tweeted by George's old account, so I'm going to say George.
Correct.
Man, this is a rout.
And that's George's current account, the very first tweet ever sent from that account.
Really? Because I didn't have ownership of it, yeah. It's a long story.
Okay, George, we'll get you back in the game here, though. February 6th, 2012. Holy S, football season is over. It just hit me. Maybe that's why The Bachelor is on in my house. Hashtag my balls are gone. Corby Davidson, Dan McDowell, Bob Sturm, Donovan Lewis.
That sounds like something Corby would say.
Yeah.
There we go.
That was Corby. He's very vulgar on Twitter.
Back to level, Paul.
One more question apiece, and then we have the 5-point bonus.
Okay.
Craig.
You're still not going to tell us what we're playing for?
Not yet. Not until you that glorious moment that you win. March 3rd, 2012. Here's a hot sports opinion. At the AAC, wondering why people are still cheering the return of a whiny quitter who hasn't been worth a damn in the first place. Hashtag buyout Odom. Is that Sean Bass, Ty Walker, Bill Geiger, or Rich Phillips?
That sounds like something Ty Walker would have tweeted.
Oh
man.
Steel?
I guess the hot sports opinions of Seabass.
Bill Geiger.
Bill Geiger?
It was Dick Hicks.
Oh, okay.
There's going to be a fake Bill Geiger Twitter account at some point. Mm-hmm. Okay, George, here we go. June 1st, 2012. Hey, girl at Payway, chewing with your mouth open. There's a reason you're eating alone. Is that Mike Reiner, Corby Davidson, Danny Bayless, or Jake Kemp?
Danny Bayless.
Correct.
Yeah. Very good.
Goal. Score?
June still leads 3-1, though, Jubb on the positive
side. If I get the 5-pointer, though,
time.
I could win here. At
the here end. Is the bonus.
This is worth 5 points.
Yes. Yeah, so would you each, I don't have paper, maybe write it down or keep your hand in your head? Yeah.
God, this is so much work on this game. Sorry.
January 2011. This is when the Super Bowl was in Dallas. This is a series of tweets, okay? At Tiger Woods. Are you coming to Dallas for the Super Bowl? You can stay on my couch if you need to. Walking distance from bars, so we'd be good, let me know. Later on the Tuesday before the Super Bowl. Are you staying at my place for the Super Bowl, Tiger? Xbox 360 check, Hot Pockets check, Dr. Pepper check. Come on with it. Later that day, Tuesday before the Super Bowl, at Tiger Woods. I'm going to need a yes or no on this couch thing. I'm going to offer it to Furyk if you don't need it. Yes or no? Later in the week, on Thursday, at Tiger Woods. Don't need to know today about the couch, but by the weekend would be nice. Harrington is beating me down asking, but I'd rather have you. Later on that Thursday, at Tiger Woods. No biggie, but Steve Elkington wants in on this couch thing at the Super Bowl. It's awkward because I don't know what to tell him. Later that Thursday, at Tiger Woods. I just thought of something funny to tell you, but I'll tell you when you get here. Friday before the Super Bowl, at Tiger Woods, wakey wakey, hands off snakey, just kidding, Tiger, we'll sleep in all next week, when do you get in? And the last tweet this man sent to Tiger Woods this Saturday before the Super Bowl was in Dallas, at Tiger Woods, it's fine if your caddy is coming, if you were wondering and didn't want to ask, I just need to know ASAP, thanks. Was that A. Cash Saroy, B. Rick Arnett, C. Mike Saroy, or D. Craig Rosengarten?
Whoever it was, that's very funny stuff.
Could you run him down again so I get the right letter?
Cash Saroy, A. Mm-hmm. B. Rick Arnett. C. Mike Saroy. D. Craig Rosengarten. George, you trail 3-1, so let's see your answer first.
All right. I'll say it was Rick Arnett.
Well, Craig, you're the winner by default here. It was wrong. Mm-hmm.
Don't you want my answer, though?
I do want to see it.
I think this is you tipping your cap to your wingman, and I'm going to say Mike Saroy.
Correct.
Saroy humor.
Plus, it sounded like Saroy humor.
What a rout. That was an 8-1 landslide victory for the Jets.
The Tiger Woods tweet series.
Very funny stuff, Mike.
He didn't show it.
Those were very funny.
Okay.
So what does he win?
I'm going to give it to Furyk if I don't hear back from you.
I'm offering myself to you, Craig. Here's what you have.
Well, that's the prize?
Here it is. I'm giving you, there's a couple restrictions. I'm giving you this coupon of fun.
Coupon of fun?
Kind of creepy.
It says KT coupon of fun, and it has a picture of him and me.
So what?
Here's what it means.
You can go hang out with...
I will do anything you guys tell me to do that, not nudity or nothing that's going to get me thrown in jail. You know, I'm not going to go Lambeau Field Gordo.
Right.
But if you guys want some hijinks, you turn that in whenever.
Right.
And it's just your voucher for the future.
Fair enough.
A KT coupon of fun.
Okay.
If you know George, a partying gift, though.
Yeah.
I've got one for you, too.
Oh, wow. So maybe we can get him on the show a second time.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Hey, best friends.
Yay.
All right, very good. Good job,
all right,
Kevin.
That was fun. 8:52 here on Sports Radio.
Oh, it's Gordo's Corner, hosted this morning for the Vacationing Gordon Keith by Kevin Turner, and it's brought to us by McDonald's and Dallas Dodge Chrysler Jeep.
Thank you very much, Mr. Craig Miller.
Mm-hmm.
Craig Jr. Miller. And I'm very interested to see how you use that coupon of fun. Are we having fun yet?
I think we are,
yeah.
Okay. All right, a couple things to promote first. One thing, I was a board op, and I've produced some, and a ticker guy for Cirque du Soleil on the weekends,
mm-hmm.
which you can hear at 12 to 2 on Saturdays.
Yeah.
The producer of that show now, Mike Marshall, is kind of the editor of this thing. We do a thing, and we put these videos on YouTube called Cirque TV.
Okay.
Now, we've made 15 episodes. And Mike, can, do you want me to promote this?
Not
or no?
really.
Okay.
It's terribly offensive and generally bad.
Yeah, totally not safe for work.
Oh, okay.
Although I try not to cuss myself.
Mm-hmm. I let it rip.
But I will say, I think it's funny. And there's some, like, I mean, Corby's popped on it before. Danny's popped on it. Mm-hmm. Stu Cedar's tequila has popped on it before.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it's kind of a little inside. Not inside. You kind of see the studio, though. And we've done 15 episodes, and I think it's funny if you go to YouTube and search it. Don't play it around your kids or anything. But
yeah.
The video medium to radio. A TV show about a radio show. It has been done before, but...
Mm-hmm. Okay.
There it is. So,
sounds like TV. Mike's excited about it.
It's great.
Yeah, he's probably wanting a distance from this.
Very much so.
I would take pride because I'm like, oh, yeah, I'm all excited. I've got something to gain here. I'm a part-timer. I'm, you know, trying to... Yeah. But it's fun. Guys, I went to UNT, just like you guys did.
Mm-hmm. It was NTSU when we were there.
Yeah, that's
we had a choice. We had a choice when we graduated to have North Texas State or University of North Texas, 100 degrees.
Man, they were still doing jazz music at
mm-hmm.
KNTU.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
When
always has been.
Now, wasn't there a story that you going to Decatur or something for like am I off on this to like DJ? Yeah. Maybe I'm off. Okay.
Oh, that was my first job after college. Yes.
Okay.
It was KJZY, Jazzy FM 99 something.
Okay.
It was a Denton station.
Yeah,
okay.
Back then, yeah.
It was a station started in part by our mentor, Bill Mercer.
Okay.
So I did some morning sports. I think I did traffic, and I had a weekend DJ shift.
Mm-hmm.
And I stayed at that station for about 2 weeks because on my second weekend DJ shift, the program director... His name was Hugh Lampman, who is no longer with us.
Mm.
He was busting my balls every song I played. And so he called me and he said, it's Sunday morning. You're not supposed to play an upbeat song. So I'd play a more downbeat song. And he'd call after that one and say, it's Sunday morning. We need something a little more upbeat than that depressing thing you just played. And I was, okay, so then I play this. So finally, I stopped answering the phone and I found the longest... song I could find. It was like a 30-minute just riff, you know, some guy, and I just put the needle on that and just let it play. Stopped answering the phone. And then he called me at home that night and said, there is no need for you to come in the morning.
Mm.
And I said, do you want to talk about it? And he said, no. Something to the effect of, you have no radio career to talk about. And hung up on me, and that's how I got fired.
And then
I don't know if you were looking for that story. I just kind of lost into
that's
it.
A great story.
No, I love that. That's he was wrong, and though because you obviously do have a wonderful radio career.
Guess I got the last laugh because I'm still alive.
Scoreboard.
You know what? You're right. I mean, I used to get away with stuff there at KNTU. When I began, there was a volunteer DJ and. I had another job, of course, like a part-time job to kind of help pay the bills. And over the summer, I would volunteer. And I would either do early morning or I would do late at night. And, you're volunteering. And it's 3 hours, but it's jazz music. And that's really your only option.
Mm-hmm.
And it got extremely boring. After 2 weeks, after the excitement had wore off, I'm like, okay. I mean, being all young and, should have been perfecting, getting good. And, I started doing little bits, and I would change the name of the show. You know, like, you're listening to Sexual Intercourse with Kevin Turner. That's
okay.
Some hardcore sax by Miles Davis.
All right.
And I never, like, I got
sounds
away.
Sounds like game-changing stuff you were doing there.
Yeah, no one ever noticed. No one ever noticed. I never got in trouble, and that was a good thing, because I could have easily gotten in trouble. I think the program directors would have been really mad mm-hmm. for me getting off that straight jazz format. Where here, I try to kind of lay low and, I don't take that many risks. But there, I don't know why I felt like I was needed to do it there. But now that I sort of have a job, I don't know. But,
you don't take the risks like we take. In other words, we're taking a major risk this morning by putting you on the air.
That's no doubt about that. No doubt
about
that.
We're the ones taking the risks.
That is a huge risk.
We're the veterans.
I will say this. I have one, before I get to what I teased, I do have one college story I want to tell. And I don't want to come off as that douchebag who's talking about college stories in the good old days. But this is unique in a sense that I nearly got kicked out of school before ever attending class.
At North Texas. That's pretty good.
I like that song. I don't... I don't deny it. But I'm not a bad kid by any means. I'm, you know, pretty level-headed, pretty tame. But I grew up in a small town only. You are not prepared for college if you grow up in a small town. You're just not. You have no chance. I graduated with 60 people in my class. When you go to college, you have no idea. You're just not ready for anything.
Yeah, that's a big culture shock, I would think. Oh. From that small to a big university.
Slapped right in the face.
The women, the beer, the drugs.
Yes, and the beer is where we're going to go here.
Okay.
Okay. First day, I moved into my dorm at Clark Hall. And everyone on the, it's an old guy's dorm, or on our wing, and everyone's got their doors open, and everyone's moving into college the first day, meeting everyone, you got buddies, and seeing all these guys, you're meeting people. And I had beer, and I took it up in my dorm. Of course, I'm 18, and that's illegal, but I'm not thinking that. I thought everyone, you go to college, you had beer in your dorm. I didn't know. There's a thing called an RA, a resident assistant.
We know them well.
Okay.
They hated us. Ours is now on the Dallas SWAT team that almost kicked us out of West Hall.
Okay, so I want to ask you, did you guys know what an RA was when you went to college?
I think we learned when we went.
Yeah.
Okay, I had no idea. Learned then. Guy knocks on the door, got five guys, we're playing some PlayStation, maybe kicking some back. First day there, I'm telling you, I've been to college for 3 hours, and I'm in my dorm, and we're just goofing off with the buddies, and I get a knock on the door. We get the door open, but he knocks on it at the side, and he's got a clipboard, but he's got it kind of behind his back, and he's like, hey guys, can I come in? I'm like, okay, yeah, new friends, we're making new friends today, this is great. Like, I am out of Olney, where there's nothing to do, there's a Sonic and a Chicken Express, and that is it.
Right.
I'm in the city, this is the time of our life, and I'm wanting to live it up that first day, and he comes in, he's like, oh, you mind if I take a look around? And I'm like, whatever, man, I don't care, we're playing PlayStation, got your friends. He opens up the fridge, loaded. Me and whoever else had friends from the borough loaded up, and he's like, I'm going to have to ask you to pour all those out. And I'm like,
oh, man.
I'm like, what? And he kind of tells me what he's doing, and it slapped me in the face.
You got written up.
And I've never been, caught. I wasn't a heavy drinker in high school. There are a few times, senior year. But, it was not a heavy, I get written up. He pours them all out. At that time, $40 of beer going down the drain is...
It's a lot of money for a college kid.
Heartbreaking. And I get sent, I have to take the online class. And I'm going, oh my God.
They make them do stuff now that we never had to do. They had to go take online classes and
really
meet with counselors.
There's like
an
online class, and they send you to this the health and well-being center or whatever. And this guy kind of gives you a little boot camp, 30-minute type speech thing. He just gets in your face. Beer is bad. And you're not, it's illegal and all this stuff. And I'm thinking the whole time, I'm terrified. Like, whatever they were doing worked, because I'm like, my dad is going to kill me. My mom is going to kill me. Have I been kicked out of school? I'm freaking out. So, before ever attending a college class, got caught. I was in trouble.
It's a bad start.
It was off to a rough start. That's the end of that story.
Could you tell it again? Because you got, 2 minutes.
I don't have time. I got to get to this other thing that I teased.
That's an amazing story.
Thank you, Mike. This, the worst pickup line in American history was given by me.
Okay. That story to the woman when you walked up to her?
No, I wouldn't tell that
story. Watching the cobwebs grow on her as she has to sit through it?
No, I wouldn't do that. I went to guys, let's rule out all the stereotypes here. Can we all do that?
All right.
Went to a Dave Matthews Band concert this summer.
Okay. So what?
No matter what anyone says, the stereotypes are true about the crowd. Not about the band.
What are the stereotypes about the crowd?
Douchebag crowd, college crowd, Chris in general.
Those are true.
Those are about the crowd, yes. Yeah. The stereotypes about the band, not really so much. It's kind of gangster, honestly, three black guys in that band. So, I went with Mike Saroy. It is lovely.
I know Mike, yeah. Hey,
lovely wife, Liz.
Hey now.
And we had backstage passes.
Wow. How'd you score those?
Just a normal concert.
Just, After the show, we'd all had some beer. I had plenty of beer, more than anybody, I think. And
you hit on Mike's wife?
Well, that's
just the pickup line?
That just goes with the territory. No. We get into this VIP lounge, and there's tons of people, and everyone's drunk, and there's all this free food. There's cookies, chips. And I'm like, okay, nice. Very drunk, though. And Liz goes, hey, I know her. And there's this celebrity, there's this woman in there. And she goes, that's poverty. That's poverty from Survivor. That's the girl that won Survivor like 3 years ago. So I
never watched that show. After
me
the first
neither.
Year.
I don't watch it at all either. So I quickly on my phone I Google search poverty Survivor, and what comes up on my phone is a bunch of like kids, like sick kids,
right, trying to survive poverty.
And I'm like, okay, that's wrong. We found out her name was Parvati, Parvati.
Okay,
and
yes,
she
I see
won
her now.
Survivor a few years ago.
She's quite hot.
Yes. So, as we're grazing, we got free drinks, and again, it's a Dave Matthews concert, so I partied pretty much that night. And as I graze over towards the treats, the snacks, I remember kind of freaking out when I did
snacks.
This. Parvati's kind of there, and she kind of looked at me. I made contact. Now, look, I don't know who she is, but she's really hot, and I do know that she's somewhat of a celebrity, and I go, hey, testing out the free market? Of all the free food. And she looks at me with the most like...
Kind of like we are right now?
Go to hell, look. And I turn around and I'm freaking out. I go over to Mike. I'm like, I talked to her. I shouldn't have said anything. I shouldn't have said anything. Oh my God, what did I do?
You had nothing to lose, though.
Exactly. And it's in the end, Liz approached her first and we all went and took our picture with her and stuff.
We were all laughing, having fun by the end of it. But you have an abnormal celebrity thing because you've never even watched Survivor and you have no idea who she is. But once you found out that anyone knew who she was, he was all excited. He had to go talk to her, got a picture, and then it's his like Twitter homepage picture right then.
I like to.
I'm like, why are you? Do you just get, you just like celebby?
I like this. Maybe it's a. Maybe I like to scoreboard people. Not that that's scoreboarding them, but yeah. Maybe it's a...
You're celebrity obsessed.
But yeah, maybe so. There's nothing wrong with that, right?
All right, well, that was a pretty bad pickup line.
Oh, it was horrible.
Yeah. And,
but it wasn't from the heart.
You like, didn't like have an episode, did you?
Well,
almost pass out in front
of
her? No.
And I didn't go over to her with the intention of, you know, of saying anything to her. It just kind of came out.
Okay.
But
it's never usually great, but...
No, it was awful. It was terrible. I remember that, and I hear it, and it makes me tremble on the inside because it's the... Because I would never say that just in casual... I would never say... Mm-hmm. I wouldn't say anything, you know?
Are you having killer flashbacks right now?
Worse, actually.
Hey, buddy.
All right, do you have anything else you want to do in this corner? Did you
You
going to wrap it up
with
something?
Yeah, one piece of audio I'd like to play. We talked about July 4th earlier, and that's all I'm going to set it up. I'll let Jared play the rest.
Okay.
Stick it up your tailpipe.
635 heading westbound as you approach Hillcrest. There's an accident blocking your two left lanes in the HOV lane. Greenville Avenue is the back. It's okay. Ah! Oh my God!
What was that?
What was that?
I thought it was my head.
What are you doing, Barb?
I thought my headphones.
What happened?
I thought my headphones shocked me. You are a
Did
jerk!
Did that shock you?
You're a jerk!
Happy birthday, Mom!
Yay! Happy birthday, America!
Yay, USA!
With the North Texas Tollway Authority tickets.
Wait, I didn't get any traffic out of that. What's
going
on?
There was just an accident on LBJ. Look at me shaking. Why the heck would you do that?
Why would you do
that? You're lactating.
I probably made those go up.
What?
What go up?
Did you get incontinent?
Did you do your out cue?
No.
She's Barb Smith.
Where are you going?
I'm leaving.
That's the worst.
Sorry.
We never saw her again.
Worst traffic report ever.
It's weird. Somehow we're going through a filing cabinet and we found like these.
It was on the wall of fun back there. There was
firecrackers. Yeah, it was firecrackers back there. So, of course, Gordon says, I had set one off during. Yeah, that was sorry.
She was mad, too. You could tell.
I don't blame her.
To save it.
But happy 4th of July, right?
Yeah.
Of all right, Kevin, thank you.